Good evening and welcome to Ignite Deep Hole. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us this evening. I guarantee you this word is a word in due season that if you make a decision from the very beginning to give attention to it, it can change your life forever. Now, we're going to make this declaration. We're going to jump right into the word. It says this in according to Isaiah 61:1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captive," he says, "and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for sadness, for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build up the old ways, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations." Tonight, we're going to be talking about, you know, the point of no return. Are you interested? Are you ready? Are we at the point of no return? Man, last week we was talking about, hey, you know, in order for you to understand, in order for you to be able to function in God's kingdom and God's governing system that meets the needs of mankind apart from the world system, you have to be born again. Now, when we're talking about being born again, we're not talking about, you know, because when you go to John chapter 3, Jesus is actually talking to a guy. He was from the synagogue. He's like, he comes to Jesus at night. I call him Nick at night because he came to Jesus at night. He comes to Jesus. He says this in John chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." How do you know this? "Because no man can do the works that you do. No one can do the signs or the indicators or the miracles that you do unless God is with him." Then Jesus' response to that statement is this. He says this. So he says, "Most assuredly, Nicodemus, I say to you, unless you are born again," that word born again means born from above, "unless you are born again, you cannot see." That word "see," when you look up the definition in the Greek, actually means to understand or to perceive. You can't understand or perceive the kingdom of God or God's way of doing things, because he can see all the results of God's way of doing things, but he did not know how to bring those things to pass. Now, Jesus says this to him, "Hey, you must be born again from above." He's not talking about naturally, he's talking about spiritually. But Nicodemus, because he is not in the kingdom of God, when Jesus said you must be born again, what did Nicodemus think? He's thinking about, man, how can a man enter back into his mother's womb a second time when he's old? I mean, that's like, nasty. Don't even want to know. Mama, don't even want to know. And thing about it is Jesus comes back to him. He says, "Most assuredly, I'm telling you, I say to you, unless you are born of water and spirit." Now he's clarifying it. Water and spirit. So he's not talking about physically. He's talking about spiritually. "Unless you are born again that way, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You have no right to enter into the kingdom of God. He says that which is, and he goes on to clarify it even more. He says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I tell you, you must be born again from above. You must be, that word born means regenerate. That word regenerate means to produce or to make new. He says again, he says you must be born, regenerated, made new, reproduce from above. He's talking about your spirit. He's not talking about your flesh. He's talking about your spirit. And last week, man, many people made a decision. You know what? Today's going to be my day one. Today, I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to be born again from above. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to allow Jesus. I'm going to make him the head over my life. And I'm going to become what? What do you have to do when you become born again? You have to make a decision to become a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student. Many people are going to university. When you go into the university, you have a prof, and then you have students. And a prof is the one doing the teaching, and a student is being the one who's doing the receiving. And if the student makes a decision, I don't want to listen to the prof, when it's time to take the test, the student won't make as great a mark as they should because they have not submitted or got under their mission to receive the information that the prof is trying to get to them. They still thinking, man, I'm just as smart as the prof. I can do my own thing. And unfortunately, people are doing that in and out of churches. And it's the unfortunate part is when you do that, the only person you're hurting is yourself. It's God's desire for you to prosper and be in health. He says, but this has to be your point of no return. Man, I've made a decision that I'm going to be born again from above. I made a decision that I'm going to become a disciple. I'm going to become a student. I'm going to submit myself to the teachings and instructions of Jesus according to the word of God so that I can live the best life yet. Now, I will warn you, you can't serve the world system and the kingdom of God system. You can't serve both. In fact, it says in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, no man, no person can serve two masters. Why? Because you either love the one and hate the other, or you will either you will be loyal to the one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or riches or this world system and expect to get God's results. You can't. You have too many people, even people who have been in the church for a while, who have one foot in the church and another foot in the world system, and they're bouncing back and forth depending on what the situation is. And God says, man, I want 100% of you. I don't want 99.9%. I want all of you. When I give you me, God says, I give you all of me. And he says, I'm asking you to give me all of you. And when you make a decision to try to live in both systems, you know what that's called? It's called being double-minded. And it says in James chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 8, it says, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. Not just one way, they're unstable. Another way to say it, they're undecisive. They can't make a decision. You ever go with somebody who went... You've been to McDonald's, man, you ain't changed in 20 years. They get to McDonald's and you ask, you already know what you want. You're decisive, man. Give me that, you know, that Big Mac meal, or give me that, you know, 20 piece, whatever. But they sit up there, be like, come on, bro. Man, I just don't know. Or y'all ever had this, husbands know this. You go with your wife to the restaurant and you like, baby, are you hungry? I'm a little hungry. What would you like? I don't care. Whatever you want. Then you say, hey, let's go to McDonald's. I don't want McDonald's. Let's go to Burger King. I don't want Burger King. Let's go to Red Lobster. I don't want Red Lobster. Let's go to Chick-fil-A. I don't want Chick-fil-A. I thought you said it didn't matter. It don't matter. I just don't want those things. It'd be like, if it don't matter, it shouldn't matter where we go. And it's the same thing. If you have made a decision that you're going to do it God's way, you have made yourself a disciple. You do it his way, even when it seems like his way is not the most popular. And I'm going to tell you, his way always works. Even when you think you're losing, you winning. Because guess what? Even though the world may give you an initial success on the back end, man, the consequences behind it ain't even worth it. So now that you have made a decision, man, I'm born again from above. My spirit is brand new. I'm brand new. Now, you've made a decision. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to submit myself and get under the teachings and instructions of the word so that I can grow up, so that I can live this best life, the life that Jesus came to give me. He says in John 10, I came that you might have life. John 10:10, I came that you might have life in abundance to the full, till it overflows. That's the amplified version. But as a disciple, what do you have to do? Well, the first thing you got to do is, number one, you have to study so you can learn. I'm not talking about what your grandmama might have taught you or what your cousin might have taught you. I ain't talking about give me that old time religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about where you learn how to study the word of God so you know how to apply it to your life. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm reading again out of the Amplified Version, and it says this. It says, study, be eager, and do your utmost the truth. But you know what? You could have somebody who says they read the Bible, but if they are not born again or born again from above, guess what happens? Even though they read the Bible, they read it, and they like, man, I read it, but it don't make no sense. I heard that pastor say this, but when I went back and read the same thing, it made no sense to me whatsoever. How did they get that revelation, or how did they get that out of what they read? Jesus already said it in John chapter 3. Unless you are born from above, you can't perceive, you can't understand, it makes no sense to you at all how the kingdom of God operates. So the step number one, you have to study to learn how to operate according to the kingdom of God. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is you got to grow up in the word. Did you hear that? You got to grow up in the word. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this. It says, so be done. These people just became born again from above. And now they made a decision to be disciples. And now they made a decision. They're going to learn and study the word. So this is what, remember we talked about change. Change is not change until you change. What is change? You got to quit one thing and begin to do something else. Remember, quit one and begin to do something else. So this is what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, I'm reading again out of the Amplified. It says, so be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, and malignity. It says this, he says, and all deceit. What is that deceit? Lying. And insincerity, pretense, hypocrisy, and grudge, and envy, and jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. And he says, now like newborn babes, anybody ever dealt with a newborn babe? Like a newborn babe, you should crave and thirst and earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk of that by it you may be nurtured and grow into complete salvation. What is he saying there? He says, like a newborn babe, like, you know, you got a baby, that baby, when that baby gets hungry, what that baby start doing? Wah, that baby, wah, wah. That baby starts crying. That baby starts doing all kind of things to draw attention, to let you know that they are hungry. And what do you do as a good parent? You feed them the milk. And what does the milk do? It nurtures them, and it helps them to begin to grow, and it helps them to begin to develop, and it helps them begin to form. That's the same thing that the word of God will do for you. When you make a decision like a newborn babe, and you see that word like the milk, and you're like, man, the only way I'm going to grow in this thing, the only way I'm going to develop in this, the only way I'm going to be able to completely operate according to the kingdom of God, I have to get out God's blueprint so I can understand how I'm supposed to grow and how I'm supposed to develop and how I'm supposed to function and the things I need to do in order to be all that he's called me to be, and also so that I can walk out those purposes and plans that he has already and he's thinking towards me from the foundation of the world. Now, this is the part though. It's not enough just to hear the word. Did you hear me? It's not enough just to hear it. Remember, we talked about this in the process of change. You got to admit that you have an issue. You got to recognize where you are. You got to determine where you're going. You got to get the plan. And we're giving you the plan right now on how to grow and how to operate as a disciple and grow in your new life as a born again person who's born again according to their spirit. But I'm going to let you know, You have to do. You have to study, just like in university, like in high school, on your job. When you start a new job, they give you a manual so you can learn how to carry out the duties that you've been assigned. You have to study. You have to spend time with it. You have to make sure you understand. If it says, you know, go 4 steps and then turn right, you can't go 3 steps and turn left. You have to learn how to study it like a map, because it's a blueprint. It shows you the way you should go, how you should operate. And the only way you're going to grow up in this thing, you can't one night stand God. You have to get in a relationship with him, and it's a mutual relationship. You with him and he's with you, and you with him and he's with you, and you're walking and you're talking and you're reading his word. And then when you have questions, you have to see, this is the thing. When you get born again, when you get, as soon as you make the decision to make Jesus the head of your life, and you ask him to become the head over your life and let him be the Lord, or the one who's in charge, and let his word be the final, you get a bonus. You get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of your spirit. And what he does, he is a person, and he's walking with you and talking with you. What he will do, he will lead you in the way that you should go. He will teach you he will teach you in all things. He will bring back to your remembrance, because when you're reading about, you may not remember everything, but the Holy Spirit is there to help bring it back to your remembrance when you're in a situation or when you're walking through your everyday life, and he will show you those things which are to come. You're not in this by yourself. Then you have other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. That's why he gave you a pastor. And what a pastor does is they teach you and they nurture you and they help guide you according to God's word to help you grow up in the things of God. That's why it's so important to make sure that you have a church or you have a pastor to help you to grow up in it. Because the only way, when you're getting the word so you can grow thereby, you need a pastor to be able to feed you. And the pastor will help you, teach you how to study the word. The pastor will help you, show you how to grow in the word. The pastor will also help you understand how to hear and how to operate according to God's word. But there's 4 types of hearers. Even when you go to church on Sunday, or like in our case, when you come to church on Saturday, man, there's 4 types of listeners. And how you hear it will determine what kind of results you're going to get out of it. Now, remember, everything we're talking about is how to operate according to the kingdom of God. And there's 4 types of listeners. Luke chapter 8, verse 9, we're going to talk about it. Now, Jesus is giving a parable to the Jews. Jesus was initially sent to the Jews, so he's teaching them in parables. Now, what is a parable? A parable is a symbolic, fictional narrative of common life that conveys a moral message. So a parable is a common life narrative that conveys a moral message. So Jesus tells, like in stories, like you'll hear me use examples to show you, I'm giving you a parable about a real life situation that has a moral message behind it. And you say, well, why did Jesus talk to them in parables? And he answers that question in Luke chapter 8, verse 9. He says, his disciples come and ask him, he says, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you who are my disciples, to you who have made a decision to follow me, to you who have made a decision to sit under my teachings and instructions, he said, it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Remember, he says, you can't even understand and perceive the kingdom of God unless you are born again from above. Then he says, but to the rest, it is given to them in parable. Who's the rest? Those who have not made a decision to make Jesus the head of their life and become disciples who submit to their teachings and instructions. He says this, he says, because they may see, but they won't be able to see. They will hear, but they won't be able to understand. Why? Why won't they be able to hear? Why won't they be able to receive? Well, if you go into, I believe it's in Matthew 13, when it talks about Matthew's account of the same parable, he said, because they have closed their eyes to the truth and they have shut their ears so that they can't hear, and they've hardened their own hearts so that they cannot receive what he's trying to say. They like, I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't trying to see that. I don't want to hear it. Man, keep it moving, partner. I'm good on that. But Jesus goes on. He says, now the parable is this, or the meaning of the parable is this. And he goes on, he says, the seed, because everything in the kingdom is this, it begins with a seed. Everything with the kingdom of God begins with a seed. The seed is the word of God. So everything in the kingdom of God begins with the word of God. And as students who are going to study to learn, and as students who are going to grow and nurture in the things of God, everything begins with the word of God. Now, remember, I told you there's four types of listeners. The first type of listener is this. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil, Diablos, comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved or healed, set free, to deliver. So what's the first type of listener? The first type of listener is that one who hears it, be like, ah, man, I don't believe that. Ah, man, that don't make no sense. Forget that. I'm good. See, the adversary, the devil, he didn't have to do anything, because when you heard it, you already made a decision. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. Man, I'm going to do me. You do you, partner. I'm going to do me. Jesus says, okay, that's the first type of listener. Is the first one is they heard it, but they didn't believe it. And if a person doesn't believe it, they can't go any further with it. There's a second here. The second here is this. It says, but the ones who on a rock are those who, when they hear the word, they heard it, they received it with joy. So they heard it, they believed it, they received it, they even had joy when they heard it. But because they didn't have any root, or because they didn't give it enough time to, they heard it, they read it that one time, they may have watched the video one time, but they didn't take no notes. They didn't meditate on it. They didn't ponder it. They didn't stay with it long enough to be able to get understanding, because they didn't let those roots grow down. Remember, it didn't say just desire to sincere milk of the word. It says desire and begin to hunger and crave it, so that you may grow thereby, that you may be nurtured and grow in it and develop in it. That's not a one-time thing. So these people, they heard it the first time. They heard it, they received it with joy, but they only believed it for a little while. And it says, and in a time of temptation, and I'm going to tell you, in a time of test and trial, the adversary, the moment you hear the word of God, the adversary is going to come to try to come against you, to try to do what? To try to get you to let go of that word you just heard. It says, for when a time of temptation, they fall away. What happens? Persecution came. Persecution is when people coming against you because of the word that you heard. But you also have afflictions. Afflictions are situations, tests, and trials that come against you to do what? Try to get you to go back and let go, or not believe that what the word that you heard is meant for your life. Man, you heard it, but that wasn't for you, partner. That was for somebody else. See, God already know you brand new, so he ain't going to do it for you. That was Sister Pray Right. Our brother do much. No. God is not a respecter of person. God is a respecter of faith. If you make a decision, Lord, I heard what your word says. I believe what your word says. I have joy. And even when people come against me, and when test, trials, and tribulations come, I'm going to hold on and keep believing what it is that your word says. That's listener number two. Then you got listener number three. Listener number three is the one, it fell amongst the thorns. And those are the ones who, when they heard it, they go out because they've heard it, and the word gets choked by cares of this world. You know, what am I going to do for rent? And what am I going to do about school? And what about my husband? And what about my wife? You got all these cares. And man, what's going on with these politics? And what's going on with COVID? Oh my God. And everything. And then you said, but you have riches, you know, deceitfulness of riches. And it's like, man, you ain't even got to do it God's way, partner, because I got a better way for you. If you would just do it this way, you ain't even got to do it God's way. That's what that whole mammon is all about. I can get you God's results without doing it without God. That's the world system says. I can get you the same results just without God. God says it's all temporary. It's a knockoff. It's only going to last for a season. And it will cost you more than what you have to offer. And then it says the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of life. And it brings no fruit to maturity. This third type of listener, they heard the word. They believed the word. They held on to it for a while. But then they started listening to all this chatter about all these things that's going on in the world. And listen to all this, man, I give you this, I give you that, I give you this, I give you that. Or, you know, they say, man, there's an easier way. You ain't even got to go all through all that God stuff, man. Just go ahead and, you know, spend 50 years paying for a house, you know, or you know, getting a high interest loan, a car loan, or, you know, get all you can in this life, but you don't leave it God stuff to somebody else. That's for them suckers. That's for them weak people. Let me tell you, it don't take anything for you to follow the world system, because everybody's doing that. It takes a real soldier. It takes a real trooper. It takes somebody who got some real tenacity to swim against the grain to do it God's way. And then that fourth listener, he heard the word. He or she went through the test, trials, and tribulations. And then they still believed and they had joy. And even though they seen all the cares going on and all the pleasures of life and all the deceitfulness of riches, all the easy ways, they said, I'm going to hold on to what it is God's word says, because I'm at the point of decision. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to hold on. And then what happens to that person? That person, actually, they heard the word. They believe the word. They receive the word. They begin to talk about it. And guess what else they did? They began to do it. How long did they do it? Until they seen the end result of what God's word said. See, sometimes people give up. See, the adversary, he'll try to wait you out. You know, like, you know, man, I've been doing this for 2 weeks, but it took you 10 years to get in that situation, and you giving God 2 weeks. Man, I tried that word. That word don't work. No. The word tried you, and you did not work. Though God's word works every time if you work it. But what do you have to do? One, you have to become make a decision to become a disciple. Two, you got to renew your mind by the word of God. Three, you got to study to learn. Four, you got to grow by the word. And five, you have to make a decision that I'm going to do it God's way. Now, Deuteronomy 30 says this, and this is where we're going to stop. Deuteronomy 30 says this. It says, but the word of God, he says, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart, that you may do it. He says, see, I have set before you this day. This is God saying, I've set before you life and good, and there's death and evil. He says, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment. What's he talking about? If you're going to choose life, if you're going to choose good, you're going to have to love the Lord your God. You're going to have to walk in his ways. You're going to have to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment. In other words, you have to submit yourself to be a doer of the word of God no matter what? He says, and when you do that, he says, you will live. He will say, I will multiply you. He says, I will bless you. And he says, but if you make a decision, if you make the decision, he can't make the decision. He won't make the decision for you. But if you make a decision that you're going to turn away from God, you make a decision, you're going to turn away from him and not hear him. And you be drawn away and you begin to worship other things. Remember, we talk about the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of life. When you allow yourself to be turned away and through persecutions and afflictions, you allow yourself to be drawn away to something else. He says, when you do that, he says, you made a decision. I'm going to follow after death. I'm going to follow after the evil. I'm going to follow after the world's way of doing things. He says, so I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that God send this, and I'm saying this to you. God set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. He wants you to choose life, choose him, choose the kingdom of God, choose to make a decision that God's word is the final authority, that Jesus is the head of your life, that you have made yourself a student so that you have become a disciple and you've submitted yourself and you're going to study and you're going to grow by the word and you're going to renew your mind and you've made a decision that I'm going to be that fourth hearer who hears the word, receives the word, believes the word, speaks the word, and continue acting on the word until I see the end results. Just like being in university, you start, they give you a syllabus day one, tell you what was all involved in the class. But guess what? If you drop out of that class or you stop attending before you get to the end, you won't get the results that you were looking to get when you first started the class. It's no different when it comes to the things of God. It's the same thing. But now that you're at that point of no return, you're saying, hey, I made a decision. I've drawn the line in the sand. I'm not going back to yesterday. If that's you, man, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the head of your life right now. I don't care where you've been. You're going to become born again. Born again what? Born again from above. Not physically, but born again spiritually. That's you. I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with me right now. Confess it out of your mouth, meaning it with your heart. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, which says this. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved, healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto right relationship. I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer with me right now. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Pray with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carry my sins for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. I repent of sin. I'm sorry, Lord. I accept your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I believe I'm born again. Right now, I believe I'm in right relationship. And right now, I am now a citizen of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Well, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, and welcome you back into right positions. Now, what do you do now? You got to do exactly what we've been talking about tonight. You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God and the love of God. We believe Ignite is that place. So, hey, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. We love to have you join us either online or in person. We'd love to have you join us. Or, you know, if you got to work and you can't make it, man, catch us on YouTube, catch us on Facebook. Or we have a third option. You can catch the podcast where you can hear this message and all other messages after this one. Now, on behalf, and the name of that podcast is Ignite to Life. Again, Ignite the number 2 Life podcast, and catch this message and all the other messages. On behalf of Minister Juwan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, you are at the point of decision. You are at the point of return. There's no going back. It's straightforward ahead. See you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.